Today we honor the memory of those children who were unable to make an act of the will because they had not reached the age of reason, but by the mercy of God, they had received the most important crown that the soul can receive in this life, for they have received the beatific visions because they would truly die for Christ. And so, the incident of the Holy Innocents teaches us much about the nature of the Church and what she will suffer, for it teaches us that from the first moment our Lord is born, he is persecuted by those of worldly thinking, and most especially in the person of Herod. And so, Herod this day seeks to do the work not of a man, but he seeks to do the work of Satan, that is, to destroy Christ, and in destroying Christ, to destroy the Church. And so, we learn from the message of the angel that we are to have complete confidence in the providence of God. For the angel tells Saint Joseph to take the Christ child and his most holy mother and flee into Egypt, and he tells them not when they are to return, that Joseph is to go into that land bringing little, for he has to flee in the very dead of the night. And so he brings the talents that God has blessed him with and the carpentry trade, and there in Egypt, living in poverty, he will work in order to provide for the Holy Family until that time when God would call the Christ child back into his native land, and there he would grow to full stature, eventually begin his public ministry, and then die for our sins. And so we truly honor today those souls who gave their life for Christ, that is, in a certain sense, defended the Holy Family. And so let us strive always to defend the Holy Family, because as the providence of God took care of them, the providence of God takes care of each and every member of the mystical body and the mystical body as a whole. And so we truly have nothing to fear, even though we will be persecuted, as today's incident tells us, because that is the very nature of the mystical body in this life. Our Lord told us that in his public ministry, what they have done to me, they will do to you. And when he says that, he means what they have done to him through the whole of his life. And so today we see very clearly that from the very beginning of his life as man in this world, he was persecuted. He was persecuted because he came not to usurp the crown of Herod, but he came to sanctify the soul of Herod, but Herod would have none of it. There is a complete and startling contrast. These little children, unable to make an act of the will because not at the age of reason, received the royal crown of the beatific vision. And it is said that Herod, upon his deathbed, would cry out for his earthly crown. Not receiving it, he would lash out and demand that his wife at that time be also murdered. But by this time, even his guards and those of his royal household saw that he was powerless to do anything to them, and so they would not carry out his orders anymore. And so it is said that he died in that state, never once calling upon the mercy of God, never once showing any indication that he repented of this most terrible crime that he perpetrated today, and in perpetrating it on these children, perpetrated it on Christ, even though Providence did not permit him to lay his hands on the Christ child. And so Providence will not permit the world to lay its hands on the Christ child in order to slaughter Holy Mother Church. The Church will always and everywhere be persecuted, but in her persecution, she will win souls for the kingdom of God. And so let us truly learn from this most extraordinary account of the gospel that if we enter into that and accept the dispositions of divine providence and all that he permits to assail the Church, then perhaps we can, in cooperating with the will of God, work for the salvation of those who, like Herod, would even do the work of Satan in this life, so that delivered from working for Satan, they may begin to work for Christ and strive always and everywhere for the salvation of souls. And so let us truly rejoice in these holy innocents who this day, by shedding their blood, receive that most royal of all crowns, that crown which each and every one of us should strive to receive, the crown of eternal life, which cannot be taken from us. And let us not, as Herod was, be so concerned with his temporal kingdom and his temporal authority and all the trappings that went for it, all that he put his stock for hope in, and in the end, he could not even get those who at one point in their life trembled in fear of him to carry out the simplest of his orders. And so he seems to have died a most miserable death. And so let us truly strive to pray and to sacrifice for all those who are presently persecuting the church and in a certain sense persecuting Christ by attempting to destroy life at its very innocent, and also to destroy life when that life is old in our world through the sin of euthanasia. For it is very clear that in today's society, many leaders of our present world have the same mentality of Herod. They may have learned not to be so in your face, I guess, in approaching the slaughter of the innocents, but nonetheless, they carry out even in a most extraordinary way, which was unheard of until Herod called for the slaughter of these hundreds of innocent children. And in our day and age, the governments of our world are calling for the slaughter of untold millions of innocents, both children at the very beginning of life and the elderly at the end of life, because after all, they can no longer contribute to the general welfare of the temporal order. But it is not that the temporal order is the welfare of the temporal order is rooted in. It is rooted in doing the will of God. And so each and every life in the eyes of God is a most valuable life, whether it is a young life in the vigor of life, able to do much, or at the end of life, the old, because ultimately God takes those talents and away from us by old age, so that we may more earnestly dedicate ourselves to the life of prayer. And so, at the end of life, the elderly have a great mission to do for the mystical body of Christ. And so, we truly learn from this incident that all life is precious to God from the first moment of conception until God has ordained that life depart from this world through natural death or accidental causes beyond the control of the person, or they give their life up in an act of charity for the sake of others, as would St. Maximilian Mary Kolbe and many of the martyrs who would die in order to defend Christ, as the holy innocents this day die in defense of Christ, even though they are incapable of knowing at that point why they die. But because they have died for Christ, we see in this incident given to us by St. Matthew the extraordinary depths of God's mercy and love for souls. Because they have died in defense of Christ, they have received from him that which alone will bring happiness to the human heart. And so let us pray to these holy innocents that the sins in our modern society that so assail and militate against life from the first moment of conception until natural death, let us pray to these holy innocents that they intercede for our society and help all of us come to our senses and do what is necessary to defend in the innocence of this world the innocent Christ, who came in order to suffer and die for our sins so that we may be united with him for all eternity in heaven.
Christus.